When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance.
Hey now, back again, Sportsbook Box Office Podcast, here in the bowels of Broadway Comedy Club in New York City, kids. Kevin Goatee check in with, once again, my boy Jeffrey Paul.
What up, Kevin?
All right.
Okay.
Is that your Black History salutation you're trying to do on me now?
The Black History moment.
If this was in radio, we'd do the Black Man Handshake, which would be about 15 choreographed moves, and then a... finger snap and the tap of the sneakers at the very end. We've got our producer hanging out today, A. Marie Castillo.
Hey guys.
What's going on?
A. Marie.
She's got more aliases than someone in fucking witness protection, I swear to Christ.
Hey-o.
You and Henry Hill, you know, my God. It's A. Marie. Everyone goes, A. Marie, this or this, and then having 15 variations, you're like, no, it's A. Marie.
She gets very angry.
She does.
If you don't know which one it is that week.
It's just A. Marie the whole time. Just people make it whatever they want to make it.
Can I ask why you have just A. Marie?
Because my full name is Alexandra Marie.
Right on.
So the letter A and Marie. So people are like, maybe you should put a period after the A, but I
don't know. Why not go by your regular name?
Because I wanted a nickname, like a stage name.
This
stage
is name. Fascinating.
Stuff. Isn't it? Yes. You're getting a look behind the curtain, kids, here in comedy about how we choose our stage names. I don't have a stage name. Goatee really is my last name. That was some shit. Jeffrey Paul's a stage name, but, you know, he'll give his identity out later on in the last episode.
It's actually my real name. My middle name is Paul.
That's your middle name, but not your, you know, it's not your first and last name.
Make a difference.
Yeah, well, maybe when you file your comedy taxes, W-2, will...
This is a cash business.
Yeah, it is. Thank Christ. Even if it was reported, they go, "No, you're okay. You don't have to pay any taxes." That's a joke. Wow, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Can we just say, look, has to be easily one of the top five greatest and worst Super Bowls of all time. Greatest in the sense of greatest comeback, obviously, because was the max differential. And then the worst, because that was the worst bed shitting I've ever seen.
Well, let's open it this way. Did the Patriots
they gave the
win
game away.
The game?
No,
or
they gave
did
it
Atlanta
away.
Blow the game? Did they just crush?
You mean Atlanta, not Atlanta. Atlanta gave the game away.
Did the Falcons...
lost momentum? I think they lost momentum.
No, they ran out of gas, and then they and also poor clock management, and also obviously
and
poor coaching. Poor coaching. Bill the Genius, as you saw, first half, second quarter, was pulling his fucking hair out of his head. Visibly frustrated, as was Brady. Throwing his, Russo said it best. He goes, or Francesa, sorry. He goes, there's two faces that Tom Brady has. The eagle eye, where he knows he has you dead in his sights, or the I'm completely lost and flummoxed look that he had in the first half of that game, as well as when the Giants beat him twice in the Super Bowl. Jamie and I thought home. But, yeah, they gave that game away due to a maximum amount of shitty coaching decisions and poor clock. Well, obviously, poor clock management ties them with shitty coaching decisions. But, look, Patriots, give them credit. Russo had it today. He charted 12 moves. Every one of those moves was integral in that game going the way it did. They batted 1,000, 12 out of 12, and every one of those moves had to, and one of those plays had to have something of major magnitude, and they all did it. They capitalized. No argument, but Atlanta fucked that game up royally. My buddy, who's he hates the Yankees, but he's a Giant fan. He texts me and goes, "The 0-4 Yankees are off the hook." I said, "Not even close," because the Yankees lost four straight while being up 3-0. That was one game they lost in the Super Bowl, right? Four straight of 2004 is still the worst, you know, series gag ever. But this is the worst Super Bowl gag in the history of mankind.
It's mind-boggling how Atlanta lost this game. It really, there were 2 points in the game where you're like, it's almost, there were a couple points where, you know, where like the nerds kind of do like the mathematics charts where it was a 99% chance that Atlanta's winning the game. But there were 2 points where you're like, they can't blow this. Is there was 8 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in the game.
Yep.
Atlanta has an 8-point lead. No, I'm sorry. They're up by 19. They're up by 19 with 8:30 to go in the game. Then, okay, just to make math, just okay, momentum's changing a little bit. You know, couple bad decisions going on here. You know, the momentum. You know, and also, big thing, Atlanta's defense runs out of gas. But still, all that aside, Atlanta's up by 8 points on the New England 22.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate this.
4 minutes, 47 seconds to go. This is right after the Julio Jones catch, which is going to go down, one of the best catches I've ever seen in any football game on any level.
And definitely in the Super Bowl.
Okay. What about the Edelman catch?
That was the David Tyree play of that Super Bowl.
It was, but the skill involved in both those guys, the way the throw should have never been made, Julio Jones making that catch, getting both feet down. So now here's my thing. All right.
That was like Mike Wallace at the end of the Super Bowl with the Cardinals, by the way.
If you are Atlanta, why don't you run the clock
down? Run the ball.
But you run the clock down. You know, 36 seconds to snap the ball. You snap it at 3 seconds. You run the ball even into the center of the fucking line, and then you kick a field goal. Because now what that does, it brings you into under 4 minutes with an 11-point lead. It's a two-score game.
Three scores, yeah.
It's a two-possession game, and you pretty much have this game won. I don't know what they were thinking. Passing the ball, I think Matt Ryan... You gotta get rid of that fucking ball, man. You can't take this.
You know what?
Sack
you're right, but the goddamn play offensive coordinator. Oh, I get no. That's on Dan Quinn because the offensive coordinator.
Kyle Shanahan who called.
No. He calls the play, but the head coach goes run or pass, and that's it. And then Shanahan decides which run or pass to use. That's on Dan Quinn. It's funny again. Russo did his homework with this one. You know, obviously, Dan Quinn coached under Pete Carroll. Both those two idiots.
He was the defensive coordinator.
Exactly. Both those two will forever be joined at the hip for, you know, the Seattle Seahawks win and having the two worst Super Bowl game management ever.
See, as far as competitiveness, well, they were both good. I think they're both really good Super Bowls. That was a great ending to that New England-Seattle Super Bowl. This is just, to me, the biggest collapse I've ever seen. In a Super Bowl, the second biggest collapse I've ever seen in a postseason game.
Who was the first? Giants, Niners?
No, it'd be that Bills game with Frank Wright leading the comeback, I think.
Oh, is it the Music City Miracle?
Yeah.
The fucking ladder.
Hey, listen, you're up by 34 points in any type of football game. You got to win that game.
Yeah, well, listen, Matty Ice, that's on. I mean, it's not on him as much. It's a play calling.
No. Don't. You can't absolve. Mara, MVP of the league, $25 million a year, and he can't get rid of the ball?
You can't get rid of the ball? No. It shouldn't even come down to that point where he had that.
Get rid of the ball. Okay. He has to get rid of the ball.
They should have ran the ball there, and that would have never fucking happened.
The responsibility is on one guy. One guy didn't cause that collapse, okay?
That's exactly my point.
But
the coaching,
but they all have a hand in it. Okay,
of course they have a hand.
But shouldn't have been made. But now you have to make a play if you're Ryan. They call a pass play. If there's nothing there, get rid of it. You know, you played football before. You know that you got to have that clock in your head. You're taking a 3-step drop, which was all they were doing. They weren't running anything big. So you got what? Maybe 3 seconds. One, two, and now. If there's nobody open, get rid of it. You're still going to be in field goal range. What I believe is going to be like a 43-yard field goal at that point. But he takes the sack. Then they complete a pass, and there's a holding penalty, and it moves them back, and now they're done. And you just knew at that point, I thought that was the turning point of the game, right there.
Because
now you're talking about a two-possession game with under 4 minutes to go in the game. And you would have caused New England to burn their timeouts.
That's true, too. Running the ball would have ended this whole fucking discussion, and that is that.
Well, you got to know how to fucking coach a game, dude. You know, it's like, I don't get why they just run the clock down and run the ball into the line.
Why did Matty Ice clock it and give them time in the end of the fourth quarter? I'm sitting there on my, you know, on their own 25, wherever the fuck. I'm like, I'm screaming at the TV, my buddy's like, are you fucking serious? You're giving him time? No, you take shots, you hurry up, you run down the field, you see if you can get that fucking field goal in play so you don't have to go to overtime. Because the minute you knew they were going to overtime, if they won the coin toss, they were fucking dead in the water.
That's like giving Jordan the ball. There's no doubt.
I'll tell you what.
Everyone knew it.
When this guy was watching that game, like, well, there's $500 down the drain with a fucking over. 24 points at the half. I'm like, I'm behind the eight ball. And then third quarter, they didn't hardly score. What was it, 31 unanswered? 28-28. As soon as I got a two-point conversion, said, I can only push. I can't, unless I got a fucking safety, which is impossible.
Here was another thing about the game.
I could only push, and then the touchdown gave me the win for the over. Time, hey, buddy.
Time of possession and
plays ran.
Plays ran.
Doubled.
Yeah, New England ran 93 plays compared to 46 for Atlanta. So really, by the middle of that fourth quarter, there was nothing that Atlanta could do. And that's why, going to what you said about the overtime, once New England won the coin flip, you could shut your TV off. You knew there was no way they're stopping them. And then, time of possession. New England, 40 minutes, 30 seconds compared to 23 minutes and 27 seconds.
You know what the problem is, too, what Atlanta did? Once they were up a lot, like they put their weapons away. They were going for the kill shot. You have to. They are, like, New England's the undead. You cannot. You need to run that shit up Bobby Bowden, Florida State style in the late 90s. Like you keep putting up fucking points until the game's over.
When Julio Jones made that catch, did anybody in this room think, okay, it's over?
Yeah.
I thought, that's it. It's over. They're at the worst, they're kicking
a
field goal here. I thought they would score again, but I didn't think they would be able to make up 11 points, which it never came down to that. They never made up 11 points.
That Atlanta defense got exposed like I told you it would. They were great for the first half, and then...
It wasn't that they were exposed. They didn't expose anything. All they did was they simply ran out of gas, because the difference between the first half and the second half, and when you're running that many plays, is there was a pass rush.
I mean, right. They put him on his ass. How many? He was sacked five times?
He was sacked five
times. 20 knockdowns or some shit?
And then, you know, hurried, I think, 11 times and rushed even more. Okay. So, big difference. When you're gassed like that, that's fucking it. You know, they could
subbing guys. You got to sub in guys. You got to get fucking another guy. You got to give him a play or two off.
I don't know if
and they were running and they were not running hurry up, which is what the Patriots were not running hurry up when they were down like that. I'm like, why are you fucking hurrying up, you idiots? You're down by this many points. I mean, obviously, what?
They were taking their time.
Exactly. I was mystified by that fucking lackadaisical hustle.
If you go back and look at what we talked about last week, I said that I thought it would have been a close game at the half. I even thought Atlanta may have been ahead. But I really thought that the difference in the game, because I picked New England to win this game. And to cover, I thought it'd be the adjustments, which held true. And he was the big thing. Atlanta never got away from that cover two defense. And what the cover two defense does, it takes away the middle of the field. Mm. So what are you giving up?
Digging and dunking, which is exactly what they do.
Well, and you're also giving up the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they never, ever adjusted to that.
That's why he's not a big game coach, kids.
It's also his first time in the
game. That's true.
The defense is young, though. They're
very young, and they really played well the last seven games of the year.
Brady got sacked?
They did.
Their secondary is young. Their secondary is like 23 max. That's why everyone's saying they're young.
I just don't know if you come back from a loss like that. This is kind of like Carson Palmer throwing six interceptions. I thought he was done. That's why I wouldn't even touch him. I would have gone with Geno Smith over Carson Palmer.
Let's not go crazy. And Carson Palmer had a money year 2 years ago, by the way.
Right.
This is Super Bowl hangover. This is Super Bowl hangover. This is the Carolina Panthers. Will be them next year. Watch this.
In Minnesota.
What does that mean?
Way to shoehorn that one in there.
What does that mean?
You're right.
There we go.
Can I just? I want to know, why is it? You brought up a point because it just made me think of something we were saying last night. Why is it the home team? It's like whatever stadium they're playing in should be like that conference's home team. So Houston was home. It was at Houston. Pat should be home field. Home team. Instead, it's a fucking NFC. Now, next year, it's in Minnesota, and then the AFC...
They don't switch AFC and NFC every year.
They should.
But they don't.
I agree.
That's dumb.
It has to do with new stadiums and...
That I know, yeah. Right,
new stadiums, they also want to do it in a nice environment.
Well, I get they're not going to go outdoors unless it's, you know, the new metal.
The only reason why they did in New York, because every new stadium always gets the Super Bowl 2 years
ahead. Because John Mara fucking is one of the guys that they listen to.
Let me tell you something. In the grand scheme, that's a very disappointing stadium.
It's terrible. I've been there.
For the money that they pay, that should easily have been a dome.
Our new stadium is awesome, by the way.
You been there?
I went when it opened. Of course. Nice. I just have a quick question before you get to yourself.
You may?
As a Giants fan.
Yes.
So, on this hangover and my just newsfeed of nonsense and people trying to make jokes today, Giants fans were like,
I know a guy who did that, and I said, today's not the day for that stupid.
It drove me
a lot
crazy.
Of people did that.
Today. I know.
I saw that too.
Nothing, listen.
You're a real fan, and you're knowledgeable, so I want to know what you think.
I think that's very pathetic.
It doesn't make a difference, man.
The
Giants beat him twice. The only team.
She's asking me, not you. All right?
That was up to everybody.
You like every team.
He does. I love team. I love football.
So the answer is, today and tomorrow and the next week or two, we aren't allowed to say a fucking word. All right?
I agree.
We can't say shit. Will I still wear my 18 asterisk and one shirt? Yep, but not until it's warm outside. It is not time to talk shit. That is the time for the Pats to do what they do. But yeah, you're right. Hey, listen, I'm proud as fuck of beating those assholes. We're the only ones to beat them twice, which is great. But it's not
those assholes.
Yeah?
Yes, you're one of those assholes.
Yeah.
No,
those assholes being Patriots.
They were so annoying today. But I'm like, what am I fighting?
Yeah.
I can't fight them.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it's undeniable. This is the best team that we have seen in our lifetime.
It is not the best team we have seen in our lifetime.
It's not? What other teams won 5 Super Bowls?
Oh, and that's, I think the team to win. No. I think the team to win the Super Bowl. This is the best team. No, they're the, well, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers have 6, so let's.
Brady has been in 7 Super Bowls.
Brady has been in 7 Super Bowls. I don't think. I'll take that. He's won 5.
He's the best now. That's it. The argument's over.
5 Super Bowls total.
Brady has won 5 Super Bowls.
Argument's over now, kids. I was fighting losing Montana.
I just wanted to hear from a Giants fan today, because I just wanted to punch all the other ones today.
Here's the argument now. Is it Belichick or Lombardi?
Russo, the answer is Lombardi, because Belichick has more losses, Lombardi does not. And plus, Lombardi has, what, 8 championships?
I go with Lombardi, too, because of also the competition that he played. I mean, look at the games that New England had beaten, not all-time teams.
No.
Okay, that Carolina team, who they have, Jack DeLome?
Jake DeLome. By the way, that's one of the worst gambling stories. I don't hear people cry about, oh, dude, I had the fucking under. Jared Hammer was like, fuck, man, I had the under. I said, listen. I said, I don't hear that shit. I do, too. I had the goddamn Carolina Pats under. It was 0-0 at half, and the fucking, they put up like 50-some points in the second half. You're 0-0 at the half, and you have the under. You're like, I'm spending that money right now. So, you know, again, as actually he said, sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. Yesterday, I was the hammer.
And the other thing I also told you guys here 2 weeks ago is Julio Jones will be taken out of this game. And for the most
What was the final? Actually, I didn't get his numbers. What did he do?
He was, first of all, only targeted 4 times. But 4 receptions, 87 yards. That's it. No touchdowns.
That's not a bad. I mean, listen, that's containing him. That's good. I mean,
well, that's about what you're going to do. That's called containing him. He's the best receiver in the game.
He's not the best receiver in the game.
Who's better?
Antonio Brown is
you're
better.
Out of your fucking
not even mind. Close. Not even better route runner. Not even close. No. Not even close.
Why? How can you say that?
Antonio Brown. Okay, it is close, but Antonio Brown's better.
Not even close.
Antonio Brown is better.
I would take Julio Jones every day of the week over Antonio Brown.
Nope. Thank you very much, Antonio Brown and Julio Jones.
You can't cover him one-on-one.
Yes.
You know, you cannot cover Julio Jones one-on-one.
You can't cover Antonio Brown one-on-one.
Okay? He was triple covered, and he still has the strength to rip the ball out of the air. He is a fucking beast.
He is excellent. He is a top 3 receiver. He's not the greatest. Antonio Brown is the best.
Okay,
tell you what. Go look up this season. Go through and look at all the game logs of Julio Jones. He is the epitome of inconsistency. He had how many weeks? Because my buddy had him. He was complaining every week on text. He'd have that 300-yard game. Then be like 2 for 25.
Right.
4 for 50. 5 for fucking 44. Saw the great guys play through that shit. And they do it. Fucking Terrell Owens came through and fucking.
And it also has to do with how many times you're being targeted. Look at Antonio Brown disappeared last year during a quarter of the football season when Ben got hurt.
You can't compare like losing a quarterback.
Yes, you can.
You can't. It's apples and oranges.
No, it's not. Injury. You're talking about numbers. And if you do the eye test, okay, and you watch the actual games, Julio Jones is the most dominating receiver there is in the game.
Antonio Brown is sleeker than fuck.
And you said you'd call John at 6:30.
Give him a call. We got a guy coming up.
NFL Hall of Fame over the weekend, too, there, Jeffrey Paul.
One omission I'm a little annoyed about. Can you guess
Terrell Owens?
Oh, absolutely. There's no,
that's a fucking abortion.
No doubt about it. The guy's a Hall of Famer. He was a top three receiver almost every year he played football. If you, again, you talk about a guy who was strong and dominated a game, Terrell Owens was nasty. He was great. And the other one to me was Kevin Mawai.
I forgot about him.
He was a great.
No, he was. No argument.
Great center.
Is he a Hall of Fame? A first, yes. First ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't know. It's hard to gauge linemen who are first ballot, yeah, Hall of Famers.
That's a rough one.
You know, you LT... really got to go back and watch tape. And you know, I'm not. I don't work for NFL.
LTD obviously is a no brainer. Oh, hello, hello. Yeah. What the fuck else with me? Why am I blanking out?
Who else got in? Did Tomlinson get in?
I just said him. Yeah. Who's number two?
Oh, Terrell Davis.
Hello? Yeah.
John Butera. Hello? Butera.
Get out of your basement.
Can you hear us, John?
Hello.
Hey, we're interested if you wanted to buy some aluminum siding from our company here on Long Island. We saw it. We'll give you a 2-for-1 deal. It's Kevin and Jeff, Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. John Butera, how you doing, buddy?
John?
John?
Hello, hello.
John, can you hear us, sir? Hello, John.
All right. Someone needs a change from Sprint.
Okay, well.
You heard him before?
That's always good to hear on live podcast.
As Chris Roos would say, poorly produced.
Poorly produced.
Terrell Davis, an absolute lock. The guy, I don't know, the safety from the Seahawks, I forgot his fucking name.
Damian Easley. He was a good safety.
Right. And I'm missing, oh, Christ.
Oh, Jerry Jones got in. I don't know about that one.
Yuck. Yuck.
I can't, like, argue one way or the other. There we go. There we go. John Butera. John Butera.
And Rooney.
Hello?
Hello, John. Oh, boy.
John.
Kevin, what did you think about the halftime show?
I thought I was chugging down kettle and sodas. I saw bits and pieces of it. People are listen, she's great, and they're saying how she's better than Madonna. Here's the difference. I'd rather fuck Madonna in her prime than Lady Gaga. That's really the main difference.
Negative.
Wrong. Lady Gaga looks too mannish.
Oh, she does not look mannish.
Madonna in
she
her
has
prime.
A sick body.
But the face looks like she's in the fifth race at Belmont. No. Madonna in her prime is better. Listen, they're both insanely talented. Look, and a lot of people put this on Facebook, and I agree with them. Give them credit. At least she didn't jam her fucking political views, whatever they are, down our throats during that show.
This is what I wrote about it. I wrote, big letters, solid. It was a solid performance.
It was fine.
You know, I like that it wasn't political. Yeah, pick him up.
John?
We're trying to get John Butera.
Hey, wonderful mild Monday. John Butera in the phone. We're getting 5 cars today away here. You're one of them, John Butera. How are you today?
Why aren't we getting John Butera on this?
I don't know, but...
Tell John Butera to fucking hit us up on the old telegraph.
Yeah. And,
Hey, Marie, try call him off the air and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can get him on.
You guys can continue.
We will. Yes. And here's the other thing that I didn't like. And every Super Bowl performance does this. Why did there got to be 75 goofy dancers jumping
holy
around
shit
in costumes?
Or the people that are just fake moshing and they're jumping around like they're hopping on fucking PCP.
It's the greatest thing ever. That's why we came here. We came just to see Lady Gaga. We didn't care about the game. I can't
see. Elton John did. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing here?
How about this? Just one year, could they just have like Metallica come on?
Yeah.
AC/DC? How good would that be? Just one time.
Because
nobody does. Nobody at my house, when we had a Super Bowl party, nobody was interested in Lady Gaga.
She is probably the least of any evils that they put out there of that kind of music. She's the most tolerable. I put it like that.
I'd say 75% of it was real singing.
Right. I mean, she's jumping around like a fucking maniac.
There was a backing track.
That's fine.
Okay, I agree.
Again, she's high-powered calisthenics and shit on stage. It's like, let the girl break.
But you know, no need for that. There's no need. There's no need for people jumping around. There's no need for all those dances. There's no... Know who did a great job? McCartney. Paul McCartney did a great job on Prince was great.
Right.
I thought Tom Petty was really good.
Tom Petty's boring.
You don't understand music.
Oh, yeah, right. I don't understand music. Exactly. Just because Tom Petty's
born.
What
do you like?
My top five. I told you before. My favorite bands, except my top two of all time are Bad Religion and Nirvana. Love them. I like punk, but listen. I love them. I love SoCal punk. When I got it. I have a mix, too. Nine Inch Nails was great. All those other fucking bands. Look.
Saw them live. They were okay.
I saw them twice. They were great the first time at the Garden. The second time I saw them at PNC, they're terrible. I don't know if it's because PNC Outdoors Acoustics suck, but...
I think they're a studio band.
Maybe. I'm not going to argue with that, but look. Halftime shows are the opportunity for me to go out with my friends and watch them smoke cigarettes and drink and fill up on drinks and just engage in Randy Talk.
You get some food. So what'd you say?
Engage in Randy Talk. That's a joke.
Did you say buddy. Randy Talk?
Randy Talk, yeah. Oh, Kevin. That's hilarious.
I'm going to have to end this podcast right now and destroy it. I hate you.
Randy Talk.
Brutal. Pregame. I don't know if you caught that.
The only pregame I watch, because of course I'm financially invested, is the coin toss. Tails never fails.
But I'm talking.
I know.
An hour before. Let me explain this. Maybe somebody make heads or tails of this to me. Why is there a red carpet for the Super Bowl? And why
is there really
a red carpet with Cooper Manning asking the most generic questions ever? It was fucking douche chill inducing.
See, if I was a guy being interviewed by Cooper Manning, go, listen, you don't want to talk to me. I'm going to talk to you. Like, what's it like to have it all and then have it taken away? Why don't your brothers combine for four rings? Something like that. But he manages all their money, which is fun.
What station was the game on?
Fox.
Okay. You think there may have been a couple of Fox celebrities or TV shows on the red carpet? And Cooper Manning doing a generic interview with them? And you think they gave any insight into football? Or do you think they wanted both teams to win?
No one's arguing.
It was
Cooper Manning.
It was unwatchable.
I'd rather have that Manning army guy went AWOL.
And you're just sitting there going, does he look more like Eli or Peyton? Because he looks kind of like the worst of both.
I mean, Amory, I'm sure you could say that if it's a desert island between Peyton and Eli, you're choosing a just to drink salt water till you dehydrate and die, right?
Maybe Archie. No.
How about Olivia Manning? How about Archie? Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Right?
Not Eli.
Here's what I loved.
I think I would actually sleep with Peyton over Eli.
Yeah, you do that big-ass forehead up in your girl, though.
Really? You'd pick Peyton over Eli? I can't disagree with you on that one.
You'd rather bang Eli?
Yes. Yeah.
To me, Eli looks like a cesarean baby, and Peyton definitely has like a vagina baby because he has like that really severe oblong head. Vagina baby.
They both look like they have a touch of fetal alcohol syndrome flowing through their veins. That's what I think.
I think all of them do.
They're not surprised.
They all of them kind of got like an extra quarter of a chromosome in.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
Yeah. They got four rings.
I actually don't feel bad for any of them.
My heart doesn't bleed for
you. Say that, but you'd fucking eat a roomful.
They have hot wives.
Huh?
They have hot wives.
Eli's wife is hot. I mean, she's fine. She's fine. She's
really cute.
She's good. I'm not saying she's a dog, you know, but hot.
For Eli.
Speaking of comparing women, can we just discuss Dajelle Bundchen for a hot moment? No pun intended. I don't get her.
You don't think she's hot?
No.
Are you a gay man?
Her body's insane. Her face is like...
No. You're a million years so old.
Is that Ryan's wife?
I've never seen her. I would take. You're gonna laugh. Adriana, whatever her name is, Lima, one of the Victoria's Secret angels, much better than her.
Prettier face, but not the body.
I gotta see it again.
Kevin, we're splitting hairs here. Okay, we are talking about 10 pluses. Okay.
Listen. No, she looks like Caitlyn. Matt Ryan's wife looks like Caitlyn Jenner a little bit from that angle. Holy shit. Yeesh.
She looks like Molly Shannon.
Times are tough, bro. Matt Ryan's making $24 million a year.
See a bathing suit picture.
I like to see him with wife number two now. $24 million a year.
I couldn't agree strong with you about Gisele now. She's beautiful. Oh, my God. Did anyone pick up on the commercials? And were these the most PC commercials you've ever seen in the history?
Not only that, pandering, right? Like I just said.
Hold on. It started with the singing of America the Beautiful. You had a Latino,
Sisterhood.
A Latino, a white, and a black.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, all bases. The NFL is such a fucking, like, you know, like us league. You know, we, everybody. Come on, man.
Come on. ESP.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
No, thank you.
But the Coke commercial, the Google commercials, also, like, you know, we're, everything's inclusive. Everything. I don't have a problem with it. But don't
I do.
It.
I do. It's forced down your throat. Yeah, it's not genuine. It's disingenuous. And besides, forget that for a hot second. If I'm the CEO of any of these companies and I'm watching that game, the commercial, I'm throwing my drink at the TV going, I paid $5 million for this shit. Like, you're watching, you go, what was this for? And then some of the other commercials are like, it says, you know, to see the whole commercial, go to blahblahblah.com. Like,
no,
nah, suck my dick.
I'm not doing that. I won't do that.
I'm not going to follow your marketing campaign.
Did you? Oh, all the ladies, like, in that. You know, oh, they were so funny. They were laughing. They thought it was so funny.
Even the movies that are they advertise, I'm like, because usually that's a prime time for the summer ones. Like,
the second it started, tell me you didn't know that was going to be another Pirates movie.
Well, I knew they're making it anyway.
I was like, no surprise here.
Yeah,
no surprise.
Let me guess, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
There we go.
I mean, Logan's coming out. I mean, I'll see that, but I'm not fired up. That's in a Wolverine. The first two have sucked, and the new Transformers are like dog shit after the last three.
Marky Mark's in that.
Yo, by the way, fun fact: Marky Mark left the Super Bowl early, so he can burn that fucking Patriots hat now and say he can't. He's not a real fan. You can't leave that fucking game early.
No, you can't.
Someone stole Tom Brady's jersey.
I saw that,
and they called the Texas Rangers because there's nothing more important to do with Texas Rangers.
So get this: I had one of my friends went. She and her husband went down there because they're Pat fans. They're from up there in dirty Rhode Island, the county of Rhode Island, I call it. Want to take a guess what two tickets cost them?
Sure. I'm going to say combined price.
Combined price.
$5,200. If they got good seats.
So they had fees. I don't know if they bought them black market or not, because he gave me a face value, and then he gave me after all the fees. So I'll give you the face value. $2,350 per ticket face value. But they got them, for $3,400 a piece.
Ooh.
So times two, so that's $1,600.
Where are the seats?
She took a picture. I mean, I would guess maybe low upper deck or loge. I mean, that's it. And I'm texting her in the middle of the game. I'm like, don't jump.
Have you ever been to a football playoff game?
Yes. Giants, Falcons, 24-2.
I got to tell you, I like it better on TV.
Yeah, me too. Giants, Falcons, no, they smoked them that game.
Let's go back to the commercials for a second. Was there anything funny about the Skittles commercial?
Didn't see it.
Good.
I was getting another cocktail.
Awful. The only commercial I found remotely funny might have been the Cam Newton one.
Didn't see that.
It was a pretty funny commercial. Cam Newton playing with, like, a bunch of little kids. It's kind of like a takeoff of a Saturday Night Live skit where, like, he's starting to, like, really throw the ball.
Right.
You know, they whip it, like, fade back and put everything he has into it and just, like, you know, hitting a kid with the ball. I thought that was pretty funny.
I mean, I don't really usually watch commercials because nine times out of ten, it's like everyone's
they're
like,
awful.
Can't wait for the commercials. Like, who gives a shit? Like, the only ones I care about are the film ones because I'm like, oh, let me see a new preview for something, and that's it. Other than that, I'm just time to go fill up my drink and or go take a piss or, you know, go bullshit with somebody.
Yeah, but it was It was an interesting Super Bowl.
Made some money last night.
Made some great money on it. You know, I hit on three boxes, one final score box, so it put me into a couple of $1,000 win.
Now, here's a question, though.
Big one. That was
do
nice.
They pay out fourth quarter, and then do they pay out final, or is it one, two, three, final?
It's final. It's not fourth quarter.
That sucks. Imagine you had 8-8, and you're like, why did I get paid out?
Yeah.
Fuck!
No, I didn't even realize it.
Right.
So I was...
I saw your post, you're like, I don't give a shit who wins. See, money changes everything.
It
like
sure
that.
Does.
Like, if I was debating, like, do I go Pats, do I go Falcons, the load shit me up, he wanted me to take the Falcons, Yeah, I got it. And I was like, I don't know. I just stayed with the over. I took a few prop bets. The first prop bet, I had two prop bets. I had two prop bets out there, I should say. I had Deion Lewis over 2.5 catches. He fucked and screwed the pooch on that one. He had one. He dropped one. He had one, and he got injured on that one bullshit play to end.
Is that a prop bet?
Yeah.
My son,
over under catches and shit like that, yeah.
Yeah, my son bet on two prop bets and he won. He took the coin toss and won that.
Tails, baby. Love it. Me too.
And then I think the other one was 1.5 times how many times did it say Houston, we have a problem?
We take the under?
Yeah, he said there was no way they're going to say that.
Did they say it?
No.
You know,
I thought after the interception, I thought someone would have yelled, "Hey, Houston, we have a problem."
I thought it was like 28-3, and that's the perfect time to drop it in there.
It could have been.
And then, what the fuck? Oh, the other prop that I had was first touchdown to be scored, and it took 4 for $25 ahead. Freeman, Deion Lewis, Tevin Coleman, and Blunt. And then I had Freeman get it.
Freeman got it.
So, yeah, so it was plus 700, so I made 25 times 7. But then I put 25 times, yeah, I mean, I won like, I don't know, $80 on that because I had 3 other people I put it on. So then I hit the over for 500, so free money.
Anytime you get free money, it's good.
Right? Yes, sir. Closing out the year winner in NFL picks. So keep going to kevingoti.com next year to find out more.
Well, now we hit like the bad stretch of the sports year.
Yeah.
I don't like that until we get to March Madness.
A-Marie was just on a post today. She's like, yeah, you know, get ready for basketball season. Don't give a shit. Just give me the baseball season. Let's go. And then playoff hockey.
You don't care for the March Madness at all?
I used to. I get it.
Me too.
I get it. I just don't anymore, but I completely understand why. NBA, I thought you were about the NBA. I just could give two fucks about the NBA.
It just gets me over my depression of football being over.
Right.
And I get really into it when it comes. Like, I'm not, like, studying games in November.
No,
like,
I love it. No.
I'll pick up on basketball, like, this week.
Exactly. I'm the exact same way.
I'll look at, like, the top 16. I'll, like, look up the team.
It's enough time. You know,
and change of the fucking tourney.
Teams have kind of, like, worked out their kinks a little bit. You kind of figure out who's who. And now I'll watch and spend a little more attention to college hoops. Let's talk a little bit movies. And
sure.
February.
Can I tell you? Actually, let me interject about films. I saw the best film of the year that came out last year, but they trotted out this year for Oscar consideration, and it wasn't even nominated. Not once. Not for anything.
Does it have to do with Black History Month?
It does not.
Can we hold on to that until we talk about Black History
Month? Well, it's a quick shout out to this film, and this the best film of last year is The Founder with Michael Keaton.
You love that movie.
It was fucking amazing.
You've been crowing about
that for
a week.
You know why? Because here's why. I don't know if you know the story about McDonald's or not, but Ray Kroc did not discover McDonald's. The McDonald's brothers did. He fucks them raw in this story. And Keaton is, here's why it's so great. Keaton is obviously the lead. He plays the good guy and the bad guy, and it's so brilliantly woven.
If I can get to a movie, I'd like to see
it. It is worth $15. If you don't get to it, don't feel bad. It is fucking worth it. I will go. Actually, we'll get to this now. We do the game or do Black History Month movies now, Jeff?
Let's go Black History Month. Okay. And we'll close with the game.
Sure. I have 5. How many do you have?
I have 5 also.
Okay.
Let's go back and forth.
Mine are not conventional. I promise you that.
No, it's good. Okay. I'm gonna start with my. I'll go almost in order here.
Okay.
Okay. My number 5 is New Jack City.
I did not like that, and I rewatched it again not long ago.
New Jack City.
It does not hold. Watch it. When's the last time you watched it?
I watch it anytime it's on TV.
It does. Oh, God, it does not hold up. And I love the soundtrack. I was like, Nino Brown. It gets
love
cheesy.
Nino Brown as like a real badass. I love Chris Rock in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Pookie.
I think it's one of the best roles he ever played. I guess for a serious role, man.
You mean the valet in Beverly Hills Cop 2 was not his best role?
It was not his best role.
Love that.
I thought he was great in this. Now I love New Jack City. Always was a big fan of that movie. And yeah, no, man. I thought you know, it's a time period piece. You know, so
it does not hold up. I'm telling you,
it's got
you,
like that New Jack Swing type of feel to it. But I liked it, man.
It's got '90s cheese written all over it. That's why you're like, oh, it's a rough watch. It gets lazy in a little bit later on.
I disagree with that. What do you have as number 5?
I mean, this is a no-brainer. Boys in the Hood was fantastic.
That's my number 1.
Yeah. Is it? Oh, number 1.
Absolutely. John Singleton. That's a fucking great movie.
Doughboy, Ice Cube.
I have the hardest time watching it when Morris Chestnut gets
shot.
I can't help it. That really, really gets
And it holds up. And by the way,
it holds up. A young Cuba Gooding Jr.
A topless Nia Long. Oh, yeah. she's sexy as fuck.
She is, and an unbelievable performance by Lawrence Fishburne as the father. You know, really, like you could see him trying to be the role model for his son, trying to do the right thing,
right.
And also trying to kind of like understand his son's pain when his friend gets shot. Like it's such a really, I think it's a great, great
Ice Cube under Ice Cube straight out of gangster rap. N.W.A. comes in, people are like, what the fuck is this guy gonna do in a film? Goes in there and smokes at his Doughboy. Come on, most of these rappers come on make shit.
And you know, you feel bad for Doughboy in it because his mother just didn't give a fuck about him, and the whole family was riding on Morris Chestnut, And he was such a, he's such a likable actor.
Where has he been, Morris Chestnut?
He does, he does like some TV series.
I mean, he was a man in like the early to mid-90s and then disappears. All right, next. What do you got?
After that, I have Coming to America.
I wouldn't say it's a black film.
Really, it has all.
I know where you're going with this.
It's a black movie, pretty much a black film.
But when you say it, but it's not geared like okay. So Boys in the Hood, that's a black Color Purple, black film. 12 Years a Slave, like those are heavy black. There's a difference. Right. What's that?
I think Coming to America was the Friday Before Friday.
I mean, look. I mean, it's
a great movie. The star is black. It's around a black family.
It's a black relationship.
The whole movie. Yeah, I think it's a black film. I don't know how you could say it's not.
Because when I think of a black film,
because it's more mainstream.
I would say so.
It's a mainstream film, but it's still a black film. I mean,
I'm not shitting on your point. I just think like I wouldn't consider a black film. You do, but I'm not gonna go to war with that one. There's other ones that I think.
Plus. There is nothing better than John Amos in that movie making the distinction between McDonald's and McDowell's.
Right.
They get it. They're the golden arches. We're the golden arc. I love that, man. I love that movie.
Next on the list, again, I'm unconventional with this. I'm going to get you, sucker. Keenan Ivory Wayne, 1988.
I was going to put that on my list.
I love it.
I think the Street Olympics. I think there are scenes in that movie that are phenomenal, and then I think there are times where it just gets kind of boring. Yeah. So to me, that doesn't hold up. But if this was a top 10 list, it would be on the top 10.
All right, what do you got next?
All right. Okay, going back to your point from before, this I think is more traditional in the sense of it being a true black film. I think Raisin in the Sun.
Never saw it. It's in the queue.
Did you ever read the book?
No. I do that too. No, I didn't read the book, actually. It's in the queue.
Check it out.
Sidney Poitier, I know.
Well, even if you watch the remake with Felicia Rashad and Sean Puffy Combs.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
Great performance. He's great in it.
Did he?
Yeah, it's a great, great movie.
All right.
Both versions of it. Raised in the Sun, great, great story. You got to watch the movie. I don't want to read it.
The only other drama I have in this list is Django Unchained, black film.
Never saw it.
Excellent. Tarantino. I'm a Tarantino. I'm unapologetic about my fucking love for him. He's amazing. Django Unchained is fan-fucking-tastic. Loved Leo as a slave owner. It's amazing from start to finish.
See, we were supposed to have a guest in today. We were supposed to have Ronnie Wilkinson. And, you know, he's a great performer, great comic. And sometimes when we're in the green room here at Broadway, this is where this came up. We were talking about some of these black films. And he brought up the recent movie.
Fences?
No.
The one about
Nat Turner.
I don't know.
A Birth of a Nation.
Okay.
And, yeah, so... When you talked about Django Unchained, that reminds me about Birth of a Nation. Did you see it?
Either or Birth of a Nation? No.
Yeah.
I won't. I don't know. I'll watch the first one. It's in the queue. It's not one I have to go rush to see. Let's put it like that.
Okay. What else you got in this list?
House Party 1. Yes. Robin Harris is fucking hilarious as the dad in that film. Again, I'm not conventional with this. I'll just finish off. And Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, that parody film.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's funny as fuck. Funny as fuck.
If you want a good parody movie, I don't know if either one of you guys saw it. Did you ever see The Hollywood Shuffle? My number two. That's
in the queue. It's in the queue. I heard it. I know about it.
Robert Townsend.
Townsend, yeah.
Really, really funny. Great, you know, great at the movie segment. But also, let's talk about time period, 80s. So understand where it's being made and the message it's sending for the 80s, but still a great movie.
Does it hold up?
Yeah, I think it does. I think some of the jokes hold up. Right. Yeah, Robert Townsend was a very funny guy.
Now, just as a quick aside here from the black films, this doesn't mean I dislike, Do the Right Thing. I mean, it's good. I think a lot of people want to put those films, like the Do the Right Things, the 12 Years a Slave. I think they overvalue them because of the message, and if they don't, they'll be deemed as racist. Like, I think they're fine.
That's a good point.
They're fine, but they're not, great. It's like, everyone goes, oh, Do the Right Thing should be the best picture. I'm like, nope. Sorry, it's very good. Or Malcolm X, that was very good too. It's fine, I'm with it. But I'm not saying it's amazing like some people putting it, mostly black people put on a pedestal because, again, it's going to hit home for them. They want to champion that film. I get it. I think that it's overvalued because of that, the racial theme, which is why most of these Oscars, it's just a pandering session. with when it comes to that.
Okay.
Especially Rays.
All right. Let's wrap up here with the game.
Okay. I had a bad week. I think that was the first losing week I had last time. Okay. We're going to go for six, actually.
We had Resident Evil, mm-hmm. Gold, mm-hmm. The Comedian.
Right.
Dog Purpose.
Right.
The Dog's Purpose.
Yep.
Rings and some space movie.
Oh, shit. Let me get the space movie. The Space Between Us?
Space Between Us.
Okay. We're going to go last week first. Jeffrey Paul, Rings, what do you have for us? Right. By the way, budget of $25 million.
Okay, this is what we had for Rings. Remember, last week,
Jimmy
Jason Salomon. You call him Salmon.
It's S-A-L-M-O-N. Are you fucking serious?
I fucking love him. We got to get him back. He's just such a...
And Jimmy.
Both of them. That was a great show.
Sure was.
Okay, so, Kevin, you had 12.
Okay.
Jason had 30. He thought he was going to make $30 million. Jimmy aimed really low. He thought this was a piece of shit. He said 5.
It is.
And I went kind of like in the middle of everybody, and I went 15.
Well, you can chalk me up on the old board right now, kids. $13 million for Rings. $1 million off. That's good enough on The Price is Right. So it will probably make its budget back, but no one gave a shit. This would be prognosticated. We've got The Space Between Us, budget of $30 million.
What's this about again?
So the woman is pregnant on Mars with the kid. I don't know. It's
who did this time?
Shit, I don't remember because again, it's...
Well, you didn't have high expectations for this movie.
Right on.
You really. This was almost an all-time low for you, except for another movie that's on this game.
Mm-hmm.
You went $3 million.
Okay.
Jason, for some reason, thought this was going to be a blockbuster, and he went $20 million.
Holy shit!
Jimmy also liked this movie. He went $15 million. And I kind of like was more along the lines with you, but had higher expectations. I went with $9 million.
Put another one up for your boy. 3.8. I told you, listen to me. I know shit like this. 3.8 million. No one gives a shit.
You don't even know what this fucking movie's about.
That's exactly why I told you it's gonna make $3.8 million because the budget of $30 million is not gonna make its money back. Okay, one that's gonna hit home for us. Robert De Niro mails it in yet another film that the critics have panned the shit out of. I'm dying to see if any actual comedians saw the film.
Well, I saw some comedians on Facebook talked about this and said, you have to see it because Jessica Kirsten's in it.
Get the fuck out of here. I like Jessica Kirsten, but I'm not dropping $15 just to see her in one or two scenes.
Okay. This is, well, you're not going to drop money because this is what you predicted.
Okay.
You thought this movie would make $2 million.
Oh, boy.
Jason didn't even think it would crack $1 million. He said 900,000.
In limited release, to be fair.
Jimmy.
Very limited release.
Also said $2 million. He didn't care what you thought. He was like, I'm going $2 million. He didn't care. I wrote that down. And then I went $3
million. Jason Salmon almost exactly in the money. $892,000.
Wow, Jason. Nice
I was off by by 108,000. He had almost 8,000.
That's pretty impressive that he didn't even think of $1 million. I can't believe it.
Limited release, that's why.
Put so many stars in it.
When was the last time De Niro was in a good film? And the answer will not be at least, it is going to be at least 20 years.
You know, that's a great one for another show. Overrated stars.
After Heat, Pacino and him have, with the exception of the fuckers for him, I can't think of anything Pacino's been worth a shit since 1999.
Wait, De Niro?
And Pacino, I'm saying I'm throwing both of them in there, but De Niro.
You can't possibly say the fuck.
I didn't like it, but at least
the first one was good.
Right,
after
fine.
That, no. Garbage.
Listen, I was in. Family was okay.
Little fuckers.
Yeah, I didn't bother.
Awful.
I didn't bother.
Fucking awful.
A Dog's Purpose was hitting the news wires with some ferocity because of its theme of it.
We're all over the map on this one.
Okay, budget of $22 million. Jeffrey Paul.
Okay, you said 18.
Okay.
Jason Salmon said 10.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy thought blockbuster, 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought because of the backlash, people would avoid this movie, I said 6.
Well, give me 3 on the board, 18.2. God damn, I'm good in something useless. Okay, Resident Evil, the final installment of the film franchise, started by a little game for Sony PlayStation 20 years ago.
None of us have high hopes.
Budget $40 million, well... I think the audiences in the theaters have also reflected our thoughts. Fire away.
Okay. You really aimed low. You said $8 million. That's, and for a budget like that,
mm-hmm.
that's really low.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, not too far behind you. He went 10.
Okay.
Jimmy went 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like I said, I can't see this being that much of a disaster. 13.5.
Holy shit, Jeffrey Ball. You are $100,000 away from that one. So get yourself on the board. 13.6 million. Colossal bomb, as we all had predicted.
Yeah.
And you've got six coming up this week.
I mean, just with the release of itself alone, I thought it would make some money, right. But shit.
Good God. Okay, so we've got six, 3-3. This weekend actually shows...
We missed gold.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. No budget on that. Matthew McConaughey, Gold Rush, and I don't know, was it Costa Rica? Who gives a fuck? Because the audience is sure as hell didn't. Jeffrey Paul, fire away with some numbers.
I get the feeling I really miscalculated on this one. You may have also. You said 11.
Okay.
Jason said 7.5.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy went a little slightly higher at 8. And for some reason, because I guess Matthew McConaughey's name is attached to it, I thought people come out and see it, I said 15.
What did Jason Zammon say?
He said 7.5.
Jason Salmon's a winner. Gold, $3.5 million.
Yeah, way off.
No one's seen Matthew McConaughey shirtless with 40 pounds extra, that's for sure. Except Jeff.
That's a good one.
We've got six on the board. Three up and three down each week.
Emery, you want this to week, on this one?
Yeah, Emery could be our play-along guest here. We've got, actually, you know what? These three coming out, all very notable. The sequel to the blockbuster for women to read on trains and get a little moist in their nether regions, 50 Shades Darker.
That looks amazing.
They sold so much when the first one came out.
It made a lot of money, even though everyone panned it as a piece of shit.
Yeah, but people are going to go. And it's Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day. Hey, Marie Castillo, what do you think?
30 million.
30. Interesting. Jeffrey Paul, are you going to go with the misses? Is Terry going to drag you to go see 50 Shades?
Now, luckily for me, this 4 years in a row, I have worked on Valentine's Day. I've always had gigs.
Oh,
1 year I spent it with Mike Boschetti. Fucking greatest night up in a
snowstorm. I hope your wife hears this podcast.
In a snowstorm with Mike Boschetti, okay, where I am flooring it, okay? My car's going 5 miles an hour. He's the headliner. I'm the feature on this show. And I'm flooring it. I'm like, if we stop, we're stuck. There's no way we're getting that after the show. Mike, oblivious to what's going on, he's just yapping away. Okay, just going on and on. Somehow, last moment, I get into the tracks of another car, and we get down to Kingsburg, and we wind up doing the show. The place is about 3/4 full. Turned out to be a really good show. But, I mean, Valentine's Day with Mike Boschetti.
You should pick your wife over Mike Boschetti, even though I love that man.
Beautiful. Come on.
I know, I love him.
You got to always go with Mike Boschetti.
I roasted him last week.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Went to high school with Mike Boschetti.
Horrible humble brag. How long did it take both of you to finish?
That's not a humble brag.
8 years?
It's just information.
All right, next
movie. Wait, no,
50 Shades Darker, Jeffrey Paul.
We're still...
Here you are, waxed put about Mike Boschetti. Why don't you jerk each other off later after this?
Wrap it up.
Okay, Mike Boschetti. 50 Shades Darker. I'm going to go 27 million.
Black History Month. I see what you're doing there. I say. She got that. $18 million. The sequels do not hold up. No one gives a shit.
But I
hate the first one.
Is a point of it being Valentine's Day.
Well, they did the same thing for the last one.
I liked Valentine's Day.
Well, here's the problem.
Yeah.
There's competition this weekend.
What else we got?
And I love this. I love the first one. Keanu Reeves comes back. Who would have thought?
Is this Jack Reacher?
No, that's Tom Cruise, dildo. It's Jack Wick 2 we're talking
Jack
about.
Wick.
John Wick 2, sorry, John Wick 2.
These are, first of all, awful fucking names for characters in
this
movies.
Film is, the first one was
excellent. I'm John Wick.
Okay, what's the movie?
He's a retired hitman.
John Wick 2.
Brought back because he killed his wife and kid in the first one. I don't know why they brought him back. I don't know why he's killing people again in part two, but goddamn, the first one was good. I'm going to see this on Friday.
You're
going
to go see John Wick?
I am going to go see John Wick 2. Jeffrey Paul, give me a number. John Wick 2.
Announcer
voice there. Anyway.
For John Wick 2, I am going to say... I'm going to say 20.
Mm-hmm. I'm
going to
say 21.
Price is right his ass. Excellent. I'm going to say 15. I think it's good. It's going to be good, but not many people are going to go batshit to see it. Because the film coming out this week, I think that's going to really make a lot of cash. You might have seen the first one. 2 or 3 years ago, the Lego film, they've decided to make a Lego Batman film. Mind you, the Lego
different
film.
Different market.
For this weekend?
No,
or
it's.
The opening weekend? Or...
Yeah, opening weekend. Not really opening because adults love this shit.
President's Day weekend, family movies.
That's next weekend.
It is next weekend. President's Day.
You know what? I have strong feelings against Kevin on this one.
Okay.
I'm going 18 million.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Jeffrey Paul?
You're going 18. I am going to say 17.
Oh, my God. You guys are way off. 45. These films don't miss. This film blew up. Woo! This film blew up the first one. It will not disappoint.
It looks awful.
I'm one of the few people who did not like the original Lego film. And so I wasn't crazy about it, but it made a fuckload of money, and this one will too. Okay, three more for the following week. In the film that makes me nauseous to be in entertainment, just saying, watching this going, wait a minute, this has been greenlit, but comics, watching comics has not yet been, Fist Fight, starring Ice Cube. About a two wait, teachers.
Is that Fist Fight that's when they're fighting?
Yes.
I want to see that.
Of course you do. You're the fucking iCuban eight-year-old retarded kid.
That's your joke?
15.
No, it's a serious story. 15 out of Anne-Marie Castillo, Jeffrey Paul, Ice Cube. He does have some box office potential.
Yeah, and who's that? That little guy from...
I don't know. From Creek in the Cave? No, it's not him.
Bad Bosses, Horrible Bosses. That little guy from Philadelphia. Charlie Day.
Is it? I don't even know. I see this, I'm like, oh, okay, you motherfucker.
I'm going to say... I think people want a good comedy. I'm going to go with...
Then they're not going to go see this, then.
No, they are going to see it. I'm going to say 18.
$11 million. This one's a colossal piece of shit. Speaking of colossal pieces of shit, this one, and I can't fucking believe this is going to be that highly budgeted, and I guarantee you someone's going to get fired for greenlighting this. Matt Damon is an archer in the Great Wall.
Is it about the Great Wall of China?
Yes. No, it's about the Great Wall Buffet on fucking Diker Heights Avenue.
Not a fucking killer joke, by the way, Kev.
Not a joke. It's a true story.
Why is he in a movie about the Great Wall of China?
Answer? Paycheck. Jeffrey Paul, give me a number. Great Wall. Oh, by the way, I do have a budget on this one. The other ones I did not. Budget, $150 million.
Jesus Christ.
All right. I'm going to say... People will go... I'm going to say low, man. I'm going to say about 16.
I'm going to go 11.
I said 15. I think no one gives a rusty fuck, and some studio execs assholes have been puckered up all weekend over this piece of shit. Lastly on the list, in the this is national release too. Cure for Wellness. I had to write the description down because I didn't know who the fuck it is or in it or what it's about. An executive goes to see his boss at a retreat for wellness in the Swiss Alps, and then he ends up contracting the same disease everybody else does. Who's in it? I'll answer that. Jason D. I might already
Jason
terrible.
Salmon.
No, Jason Salmon is not in this. If he was,
I'd go see it.
Right.
See
it. And then Cole DeHaan. Cole DeHaan is in this. I don't know
who any of these people are.
No one does. $10 million for Anne-Marie. Jeffrey Paul.
I don't think anyone's going to go see this. I'm going to say 6.
I have 8.
All right.
Okay, so here's so that's been a hell of a show, guys. We talk football. We talk some films. Talk to that. We got to get to the plugs. Hey, Anne-Marie Castillo, where can we find you?
You can find me at part_time_bro.
Check out part-time bro.
Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
Part-time bro live. I'm really excited. I have my next sports roast coming up. You're going to catch the first one. 2-minute warning. March 23rd. We're doing the March Madness. Top 16 teams in college basketball.
Yeah, I heard the football one was amazing.
And that's about it that I want to plug. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for hanging out. Jeffrey Paul, where can we find you?
Okay, so Wednesday, I'm at Andemo in New Jersey, and then...
Where in Jersey is that?
I think it's in... Oh, God. Hewitt? I don't know. This is a good one. On Thursday, I'm with Jim Florentine.
Yay!
Over at Bridgestone.
Yeah, that's saying.
In South Amboy. That should be pretty fun. I like working with Jim. Friday night over at McGuire's in Long Island.
Right on.
Been a while since I've been there. And then the following weeks, you can catch me, you know, every time over at McCaroline's next week and Greenwich and Broadway. And
where can we find you to find all these dates, Jeffrey Paul?
Like I said, Andino on...
No. Where can we find you? Where you get your...
I'm sorry. Yes, you can find me over on Facebook, on Twitter, Jeffrey Paul 17, but hit me up on Facebook. That'd be sweet.
I'll be right here on Wednesday night again for John Butera's show, who tried calling in to no avail.
Sorry, John.
8 p.m. on Broadway here, and I'm away on vacation on fucking Saturday. I'll be back for a week and change. But then I'll tell you what, I will be back on the 25th. I'll be down in Atlantic City Comedy Club for two shows.
Oh, that's a fun time.
Check that out. Yeah, come on down. It's actually an unofficial comics watching comics show. I've got the winner, Rob Santos, the runner-up, Chris Crespo, and Michelle Conrad.
Have you done that room yet?
First time doing that room.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward. We're going to go down. We're going to gamble, make some free money.
I'm there on St. Patty's weekend.
Are you really?
Yep.
Awesome. At Kevin Goatee. But hey, Comics Watching Comics, we're editing episode 4 right now, but I hope you liked episode 3. Episode 4, though, is going to be a fucking riot. At Comics Watching, at Kevin Goatee, GOOTEE, KevinGoatee.com. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the next Sportsbook Box Office podcast. Amory, thanks again for hanging out. We'll see you.
Thank you,
At Sportsbook Box Office on Twitter. Later.